This morning we read the Gospel from Matthew chapter 25. It is one of the parables of Jesus. It's a parable near the end of his ministry where he is trying to say to his first disciples and to those of us listening 2,000 years later of the importance of being ready. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come, let's go out to meet him.' Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise ones replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Be seated, please. We invite our children to be dismissed for their time of worship in children's worship. And as they leave, I also want to say that while we worship here, probably not at this exact hour, but earlier today, Robert Davis from our congregation and the brothers and sisters, it looked like from the church in Rabat, if I'm not mistaken, are worshiping God together. And Robert sent us a video of the church service. It's lively, it's fun, and the best thing is they're wearing Highland Baptist Church of Louisville, Kentucky's old choir robes. And they look marvelous. It just looks outstanding. So we are connected. Let's bow together and pray. Thank you for sacred connections. They really make life worth living. For really, God, what is life but connections to you, to each other, to our deepest selves, to this earth that you've so lovingly placed us on? And we ask for the capacity to live more intentionally, to live more lovingly, to live more holy, completely, as human beings, as people with careers, as children, as parents, as neighbors, as fellow travelers on this journey. Thank you for the people who comprise our lives and for the opportunities that life brings us to do your work of love. So, Lord, we know not the day nor the hour, so we will be attentive. And we will prepare ourselves to do that which is ours to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Terry and I were driving south on Bardstown Road the other day. It's quiet in the car, and I spoke first, and I said, 2018 cow calendars coming soon. What? She said. The cow calendars, they're coming soon. What is a cow calendar, she asked. Well, I suppose it's like a monthly calendar with different cows each month that maybe you're dressed up in a certain way, sort of like a pinup or something. And she looked over and said, "What kind of person thinks about things like this?" And it was in that moment that I realized that she had not seen the sign at Chick-fil-A that I was reading as we drove down the street. Cow, 2018 cow calendars available soon. Without a sense of context, someone saying 2018 cow calendars coming soon has no meaning whatsoever. Context and frame of reference is essential for understanding really anything, right? How do you know what a sentence or a line in a movie means unless you have some kind of context? You'd be like a little child coming into the middle of a movie. You won't know. What's the context? So when Jesus says, be ready, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, be like the wise bridesmaids, and be ready, for you know not the day nor the hour. What's this mean? What can this possibly mean for us today? One of the things I love about Highland over these years is it seems to me that together we have found a faithful frame of reference to understand and apply and even experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that part of our work of love at Highland, not all of our work, but part of our work, is to simply be a faithful alternative for those places where the gospel is misapplied or misused or just missed altogether. It's not a new phenomenon. Carol read for us from the prophet Amos. The people had been given very clear guidelines about what it means to be the people of God, but they had veered off into a legalism and into rules and rituals that had taken them far afield, so much so that God has to say, man, I hate your church services. Don't even bring that stuff to me. How far off the beam would you have to be for God to say that? Just a few weeks ago, we marked the 500th anniversary of what we call the Reformation of the church. It is a season in the life of the church where the church had veered off the course, had lost the kernel and the core of the gospel, and had gone afield. The gospel had become misapplied, misused, or missed altogether. I don't know that anybody intends this. I don't know that any clergy, any professor, any religious leader wakes up one day and says, you know, I think I'll take the church off the path a little bit. No one does that intentionally. But many of us grew up in churches where parables like the parable of the bridesmaid and the oil lamps became misused, misapplied, missed altogether, and reduced to something that had to do with the end of times, some future date when Jesus was going to come back and save everyone who was good, bring them up into heaven, and everyone else was going to stay here and endure suffering and pain. That's the way we read passages. Like the one Perry just read for us from 1 Thessalonians, which is really about how all things are united and nothing is wasted in life. We'll all be together. But when it's read without a frame, without a context, it gets easily reduced to some magic Jesus whose dead body who's going to come back and make dead bodies rise again. This was the bread and butter of what I grew up with. We went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we heard about this all the time. They called it the rapture. And it was a term and a word that sort of got developed over the years, and it scared us. It told us to get our lives right with God, or we were going to burn for eternity in hell, and that we'd sing songs like, life was filled with guns and wars and everyone got trampled on the floor and I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. The door's been shut. Well, here I am, 16 years old. I don't want to go to hell. I want to do the right thing. And so we lean into this way or this system of thinking that was everywhere. And in fact, if you pick up even our green hymnal today, you will find many, many hymns where the first few verses are about loving God, serving God, but the last verse invariably will be about when Jesus comes again and everyone is raised up into heaven, everything will be right. Now let me be clear. We do believe that there's more to life than this life, that when you die from this life, that that's not all there is. And we do believe that Jesus, that there is a consummation and there is a completion to all of this. But there's more to the gospel than just that Jesus is going to rescue the good people at the end of time and too bad for everyone else. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, we know it is well with my soul, so well, and we love it here at Highland. The last verse, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the cloud be rolled back like a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall return. We don't exactly preach that here. My daughter was a little girl. She came home. She'd been visiting a friend who went to another church. She came home and said, "You didn't tell me this stuff." "What stuff?" I asked. She said, "Well, I got to choose between having the mark of the beast on my forehead or being killed. What kind of choice is that? You didn't tell me this stuff." Our hymns told us, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, when the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saints of earth are gathered over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Sing it with me. When the roll is called up yonder. See, we know this song. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. You have to have that long hold here. When the roll, okay, we know, Ronder, I'll be there. You realize I may be the last pastor that Highland Baptist Church has who knows every word to "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." And that's okay. That's okay. Because Highland's theology has moved. It's grown. It's evolved. Our frame for the gospel is now so much more than just avoiding hell and going to heaven. It is that faith in Jesus connects us to God and to each other and to this world and to our best selves in ways that bring healing and sacredness, and it can be seen. Or to say it differently, at Highland over these years, it seems that we have made Jesus and justice come together and be one. Jesus and justice. To be a follower of Jesus is to be concerned about God's justice in the world, what God wants, what God dreams, what is right and true and fair and good. And we are invited into this way. But if this seems like old news, I have to tell you, this has been a long journey over the course of about 20 years here at Highland. We didn't start out in this place. It was a tough and slow and unspoken theological journey. And sometimes it was scary. And I know that you were scared with me sometimes when we'd be accused of being liberals, of being told that we didn't love Jesus or believe in the Bible. We were told that justice was just a distraction, that we needed to bring people to Jesus, that on Justice Sunday, we could be criticized because our numbers weren't as big as the big mega churches. One of my heroes, John Claypool, was one of the first to make this connection for me of Jesus and justice. And it was years ago, many years ago, when at the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Claypool was invited to speak. And he spoke on the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the peacemakers." He was talking about the war in Vietnam and whether Christians should be supportive of the war, when from the back of the room came catcalls and heckling from other conservative preachers who started yelling out at him, "Preach Jesus! Preach Jesus!" As if preaching "Blessed are the peacemakers" isn't preaching Jesus. I've heard countless sermons about loving Jesus, but honestly, I don't remember a single sermon about loving my neighbor. I heard all kinds of sermons about Jesus coming again. I never heard a sermon about Jesus always coming. You don't know the day or the hour because it could be today or tomorrow. Not just the end of time. Christ is always coming, and when he comes, it always looks like justice, fairness, equality, harmony, abundance. It's about God's generous goodness. We learn this, Highland. We learned it from the Bible. One of the best things you have going for you is that you are a church who believes the Bible. You study the Bible. Don't ever lose this, because we learned what we've learned from the Bible. The Bible tells us that God is a God of justice. But in addition to reading it, in addition to seeing it in the ancient text, what's happened to us over the years is that we've experienced this to be true. That Jesus and justice do go together. That Jesus, frankly, makes a lot more sense to us when he is representing the God of justice. And justice makes a lot more sense to us if we can frame it and understand it in light of the life and teachings of Jesus. It's who we are. It's what we do. So we start by just trying to love people. We pick anything we've tried to do. We try to love a group of kids and have compassion for people who are oppressed. And maybe we start out by collecting some food or giving them some Christmas toys. But then we start developing relationships with people. And that's where we get in trouble, because we start seeing things from their point of view. We start empathizing with them and understanding the complexity of life. And the next thing you know, we're becoming their advocates. And we're asking questions about justice. We didn't intend to do justice. We just wanted to love people. But when you love people, it leads you to justice. When you care about immigrants, you don't just give them your used clothes. You ask questions related to justice. When you care about women who have been abused, sexually abused, you do so in a way, not just because it's politically correct, but because it's the gospel. It's about liberation and life and healing and atoning. And when we talk about race, as we are now, we recognize that we don't just talk about it because it's the subject of the day. It's because way has led unto way, has led us to this place where we're asking questions. We don't know all the questions, but we're at least asking some questions that move us beyond our own experience and get to know the experiences of others. And we're having to call for justice. And I think of all the areas of life that we have entered into over the years, this one may be the trickiest. Because unlike, say, women's issues or even the LGBT issue, there was really not much of a sacrifice on our part. We didn't have to forfeit much. But when we start to talk about race and power and inequality, at some point, we have to be willing to say we're willing to live and have less so that others can have more. And we do so not out of guilt, not out of shame, not out of fear. We do it out of love. Love forms us and changes us and makes us one with everyone and everything. So last weekend, I told a story at the end of my sermon about our No Murders Metro experiences, where for a couple of years, we, went to the site where people were killed, and we held a little church service. And I talked about how I took our church processional cross and how my friend Chip made me one that's kind of like a pool cue that could kind of unscrew and fit in the back of your car. I told about how I was in Portland a week after Anthony, 25 years old, had been murdered, and how his father, after the service was over, was still out in the street, and how God took the cross from my hand and put it in the exact spot where Anthony's body was lying. I got to tell that story four times. It's what happens when you are at Highland. You do this thing four times. By the 11 o'clock service, you've about got it down. But each time I told that story, I kept hearing this little echo in the back of my mind. And so I thought I would attend to it this week. And what I was hearing were words that are usually saved for a wedding ceremony because they have to do with marriage. But it seemed to fit in that moment when I described the lifeblood of Jesus merging with the stained blood on the street of Portland Avenue of Anthony's. Hear the words. And the two shall become one flesh. There's a oneness, a connection between Jesus dying on the cross, representing the mystery and love of God, and Anthony's blood on that street in Portland. And when you see that, when that awakens in your heart, you say, as we do at the end of a wedding, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder. That's why my family's giving to Highland Baptist Church, making a commitment in 2018. We want to be compassionate neighbors. We want this church to continue to be a beacon of light and a voice in this city. And we need every person to make a commitment as you're able, and we will trust the rest to God. Jesus and justice, they go hand in hand. On them hang everything. Let's pray together. Allow us, God, through the resources given by your people, to cast a dream that is big and large, expansive and generous, your dream for the world. Give us language to speak the spirit of sacrifice that the cross represents, and give us hope, for God, you are never done, never done. So praise to you, O God. Use your people in your work of love, we pray. Amen.